Hello, and welcome to the Self-Sufficient Hub podcast. I'm Carl from selfsufficienthub.com, and I'm here to talk about all things self-sufficiency. Sustainability and food security matters. Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 206 of the Self-Sufficient Hub podcast. I hope you're all safe and well. Today, and it's another interview episode, the interview is more of a conversation than an interview, and I need to give you a little bit of a preamble for it. So basically, one of my patrons said that their parents, or their mother in particular, would really like to have a chat with me and possibly be on the show. The idea is of talking about the subject of becoming a homesteader, becoming self-sufficient, and working towards those goals when you're perhaps not in your early 20s, 30s, or 40s, but maybe when you're in your 60s and things are, you know, perhaps to some people they might appear a little bit more challenging or off-putting, and to kind of demystify that whole idea and to sort of open up that world and just talk about it a little bit. And I thought that was a fantastic idea. So we tried to get in touch by several different methods, and for whatever reason, we just couldn't get a phone call to work. So as it happens, I used the recording platform that I usually record on, and I said, well, let's go here and see if we can talk here. And it turned out we ended up talking for about half an hour, and you know, we didn't schedule a recording. That was the recording. So it's, you know, it's not quite the same format as you might expect. We didn't go into it with like a, you know, an interviewee frame of mind. We were more just having a chat. Now, the other thing I wanted to just say and get out the way is it's a little bit, or gets a little bit, political right at the start, and I have no problems with that, and I'm hoping that you guys won't either. And I think one of the biggest problems we face as a society these days is the polarization of our thoughts and the inability to understand where someone else sits and where they stand and what they think and how they think and why they think. And I think, you know, if the first minute or two of this upsets you in any way, then I urge you to just take a deep breath and, you know, kind of ignore it, because that's not what we're here to talk about. But I think it is useful to, you know, it helps us to understand why someone perhaps makes the decisions that they make. And, you know, it gets a little bit political at the start, like I say, but that does really sort of lift a veil as to this person's motivations. So without any further ado, I think I'll hand you over to the recording and let you judge for yourselves.
That was pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, I've never known anything like it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just don't know what the deal is. But
Well, I don't either.
No, I don't. But this is how I record our podcasts. So,
oh, okay.
This is a good trial run, I suppose.
Okay. Well, it works for me. As long as we can talk, that's the main thing.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So I'm trying to think where to start.
Well, I can tell you where I started.
Please.
I moved out to California back in 2001, I guess it was, 2002.
Yeah.
And I found a reason to stay out there, and then ended up getting married and creating a new life out there. And I was not aware of even organic food, to be honest. Because like wow. In Florida, where I had moved from, it wasn't even in the grocery stores that I was aware of. Then I go out to California and I start finding organic food at Trader Joe's, which is pretty very popular food store, grocery store. And, you know, so it's like my first impression is, wow, that's a lot more expensive.
Yeah, sounds right.
And then after that, then the chiropractors out there were telling me, yeah, you know, there's dirty food, there's clean food. You want to go with clean food wherever possible. And I was like, okay, you know, and so I started eating organic food. you know, and then the American public elected Obama. Mm-hmm. And I really couldn't stand the guy. I mean, he seemed very nice, you know, like he has a nice persona, but I just did not trust him. And then I started finding out what he was doing, and I didn't trust him even more. So that kind of got me going. You know, it was a little strange. But then in 2011, they reelected him. And that for me was when the poop hit the proverbial fan.
Yeah.
And I started going into prep mode, mm-hmm. you know, like, okay, what do I need to do if the economy collapses? Because that's the direction things seem to be headed, you know, at that point in time. It was already very scary for me because I'd never experienced a president who was, you know, was like him, you know, just from the, like, I had been a libertarian for a long time. Mm-hmm. Libertarians, the kind of libertarian I was, favored the Constitution, wanted limited government, did not want the government, you know, like running your life.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was my feeling about government. Government should give you the freedom to do, you know, what you know is right for you. Like, you can make your own decisions about your health, about your welfare, about your wealth, you know, all of those things.
Well,
I'd pretty much lived like that for a long time.
I'm a huge Ron Swanson fan, if that means anything to you.
The name is not familiar to me. Sorry.
Oh, it's a character in a sitcom. I think you'd like it.
Oh, okay. Well, that's probably why I don't know him.
Okay.
But anyway, so you know, politically things were looking really dicey. And I got like a generator, and I stocked up on food, like dried rice and beans and whatever, you know, like anything I could think of that, you know, if you had to like drop back to basics and just, you know, had no access to anything else, you know, what would you do? And, you know, I realized along the way that that was not, like, I didn't want to eat rice and beans for days.
Mm-hmm.
Like that really did not sit well with me. I mean, I could do it if I had to, but I just didn't want to.
Yeah.
So then I got into a community garden, figured, okay, you know, I was in a homeowners association that did not allow you to keep any kind of animals, you know, so goats or chickens were out of the question. And I didn't really have the space to do a lot of vegetable gardening, although I did have a 8x4 foot patio, which in meters is about 1 meter by 2 meters, something like that.
Yeah.
Not very good.
Yeah.
And so I did have a box. My husband constructed this garden box for me, and I grew a pineapple, a couple of pineapples in there. I had a citrus tree in there. I tried some other vegetables that didn't do so well. I did do the community garden thing and harvested a lot more from the community garden. I got, what else did I get? I got some tulsi, which is a really nice salad green, as well as being an Ayurvedic herb. I got tomatoes. I got some carrots. That's my husband sneezing in the background. I got some other vegetables, I think. Anyway, so then it was like, next step was permaculture, and I took a permaculture course.
Nice.
Yeah, and that really opened my eyes to, like, oh my goodness, look at all the different things that you could do. Now, you have to understand my background is engineering. That's what I studied in college. That was a long time ago, but for some strange reason, I find engineering to be a very logical field, and its approach to, you know, it's very solutions oriented, you know, like, and that's what permaculture was, multiple solutions to life's survival problems, you know, like have multiple solutions for water, for energy, for you know, getting rid of waste, for, you know, food, whatever. And that was very appealing, very appealing. So where I took that course was about an hour or so north of where I lived then, which was Clearwater. And we started looking for property, you know, like, okay, if I can't grow it where I live, let's find somewhere where we can grow it. And we actually found a piece of property that was 4 acres and was cheaply priced. And we purchased it and we put a well on it. And the well water is delicious. It's comes from the Crystal River Aquifer, and it's a very clean water source. So I'm very happy about that, even though the well is about 200 feet deep. So I guess that's a good thing.
Yeah.
And then we started building a house. And I don't know if you had a chance to glance at my website.
Yeah, but I have, yeah.
But we had quite a few, you know, ups and downs with trying to get the house built.
Yeah.
But we did eventually get a contractor who could finish it, and he did finish it. And now we've been living in our house for about 6 months. And we're currently painting the deck. It's like, nice. There's always lots of projects. So there's lots of things to keep us busy.
Yeah, of course.
So, yeah. So it's good.
So what's your long-term plan?
Well, the long-term plan is to have a variety of fruit trees, because where we're located in Florida, we can actually grow both tropical and stone fruits. So that's peaches, nectarines, plums, figs, papaya, mango, pineapple, avocados.
Fantastic.
We can grow all the berries, blueberries, strawberries, raspberries, blackberries. So lots of fruit production. We have a funny kind of growing season. It is, for typical stuff, it's actually winter. Like our greens and stuff grow better from fall to early spring. And then from late spring through the summer and the beginning of fall, there are limited things that will grow. But for example, sweet potatoes will grow here. Field peas, which is a kind of legume, will grow here. And then you have all the fruits and stuff that you can harvest.
So it sounds like you're kind of opposites in terms of like what time of year you would be preserving. Would be in the spring, you'd be preserving all your produce that you'd managed to grow through the winter, rather than, for us, obviously, we grow most of our produce in the summer and harvest it in the autumn and then try and preserve it. It sounds like you're doing things the opposite way around.
Yeah, well, that's just the seasons here. It just gets too hot for greens in the summer, although I'd love to grow them. But even for, like, we moved in November, and then I just, you know, scattered some greens seeds, some old packets that I'd kept in the refrigerator for a long time, on our grow boxes. And I got 5 big boxes of greens out of that. I thought that was pretty good for an initial effort. I mean,
yeah, for sure.
And that was spinach. It was a lettuce. It was mesclun, which is a kind of a spicy green. So I thought I did pretty good. I mean, as a first effort, you know, it's like I'm willing to try all kinds of things. Yeah, and then we just built a garden box, a raised garden box, and it is about a meter deep and 1 meter wide and about 2 or 3 meters long.
So a decent size then.
Yeah, decent size. And we're using a lot, like, our property is wooded. We have oaks, we have pines, we have a lot of shrubs. And I basically wanted to go with a wooded place because I thought that that would be a good way to start instead of having to grow up the trees with permaculture to have the trees to start with.
Yeah, definitely.
That has its own thing, but we've got lots of energy in our trees. I've got the plans for a wood gasifier so we can use that energy to actually create our electricity. And then, I mean, I'm very gadget oriented. I've got a sun oven. I've got a freeze dryer for saving all of our leftover produce.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's kind of the direction I'm going in, is like being completely self-sufficient, water, energy, food. And then at some point, once we've got that all going, inviting people to come here and get educated.
That's my journey as well. And it sounds like we're on a similar stage of it. You know, I'm about 3 years in at the moment. And so we're not quite there with the self-sufficiency, but I don't think anyone ever does get all the way there, but we're working towards it, you know, and it's about the journey as much as the destination for me.
Exactly. You know, and I'm kind of a workaholic. In that I love to be busy. Like if I'm not busy most of the time, I'm cranky. So when the pandemic hit last year, I was working at a job for a guy out in Los Angeles that I'd met when I was out there. That did live events. So of course that didn't fly for very long. And so I had to reinvent myself. So I became an English tutor. So I've been tutoring online to kids and adults around the world on a platform called Cambly. And that's been working out pretty good. The property that we have in Clearwater, we still own, and we're renting that. So that's creating a source of income, which is a good thing.
Perfect.
And then the job that I used before the pandemic hit is doing virtual events. So I've got another source of income there. So I've got like three different places that I can create wealth right now. And then if I ever get this other thing going, you know, we'll have that as a possibility too.
Perfect. So how far, I mean, I'm thinking rather than trying to schedule a time for a recording, I think I'm just going to use this one, Karen, if that's okay with you.
Yeah, we'll
carry on. Yeah, we'll carry on chatting. So how far...
This would be a project that would be too much, because we're both over 60, my husband and myself, but we're very young 60s.
Yeah.
Like
I can tell.
It's okay. I don't mind working.
Yeah.
And doing stuff. One of the reasons why we went ahead and had somebody else build the house is because I didn't want to spend all of my time trying to do that. I wanted to actually get out here and work on the garden, work on the, you know, growing the animals, handling the energy area, things like that.
Yeah.
Rather than construction. So I'm really glad that we have the house, but because we did end up getting another contractor, we did not use some of the materials that I wanted to use that would have been longer lasting. Like, mm-hmm. For example, for a deck, there's a, I don't know what it's called. It's a particular kind of composite board that is basically, you know, all you have to do is hose it down every once in a while. We got pressure treated boards, and because we got pressure treated boards, we're now having to paint and seal them.
Yep.
So that's going to be a long-term project, take us probably a month to finish, but that's okay. You know, it's like we're willing to work at it and we got the materials and now we're painting away.
Good for you. See?
So it's really easy for you guys to get in touch. Whatever it is you want to say, whether it's an idea for a future episode or Perhaps you've got some feedback on something you've heard me say. I really do love hearing from you. There's lots of ways that you can do it. Now, you can follow the links in the show notes. You can use your phone just by pressing the button in the link and record a voice message that can be played on the show. Alternatively, you can send us an email where we are selfsufficientcontact@gmail.com, or you can find us via Facebook. But however you choose to do it, I really do love hearing from you guys. Perhaps you'd like to record a voice memo using the regular recording app on your phone and send that via an email. That's another way that I can play it on the show. But please do get in touch.
So how far into your sort of, or how far along the path of self-sufficiency are you? You've mentioned three distinct areas, which I think is nice to kind of separate into. You mentioned water, energy, and food. So Water, how far down that path are you?
I think the only thing that I would need to be completely self-sufficient would be a pump that did not have to be powered by electricity.
Right.
I mean, I've actually looked at that. It's expensive.
For a solar option.
Yeah, there's the solar, except for the fact that it's a very deep well. It's 200 feet, which is very deep. And like shallower wells would be easier to pump water from, but they weren't able to find water without going pretty deep. So, there is a well that you can, or a pump that you can get that will do that. So that's probably something I'll invest in somewhere along the way so that if the power went out, we could go out and pump water out of our well.
Yeah. And that's, what about a, would a hand pump be possible at that depth or not? Is that
a question? That is a hand pump.
Right.
That is one. So that's exactly what I looked at. And I know who the manufacturer is. I know what the cost is. And I know what it would take to get someone here to install that. But right now we have a submersible pump that's 200 feet deep that gives us very good water. And, you know, I'm not concerned. Although I'm hearing a lot of news about areas going dry, I think more of that is with the shallower wells, you know, the ones that are closer to the surface. Florida is basically a sandbar, you know, and so there is a water table for most of Florida that's not very deep, but where I'm at, it is fairly deep. And I think that's actually a better thing because the water we get is probably less
Less likely to run dry as well.
And less likely to run dry, right.
And how about energy? How are you sitting with that?
We have a couple of generators. We have propane. Like we're using propane for our stove. We're using propane for our water, hot water rather. We have like the tankless water heaters that are propane. We have propane for our dryer, and as far as that goes, if I can get a local welder to make a gasifier for me, then I can create my own. Yeah, because I've got all these trees, you know, and they're always dropping branches and stuff. If I can convert the trees that are already here to energy, it's a win-win.
Yeah, absolutely. And would you, I don't know what sort of woodland you're looking at there. Would you replant as you went, or is it just not necessary with the amount that you've got there?
Oh, it's totally not necessary.
Fine. So that,
I mean, the oaks are constantly, reseeding, and the pines are too. So
yeah. Excellent. And lastly, and is usually the top of my list, food. So how are you looking with your food self-sufficiency? I know you've got goats there. Do you milk them for dairy, or is it just...
Oh, I don't have goats yet. Like, that's something I want to get. Like, I don't have any animals here yet except for my parrots.
Right. And what at least one of your parrots has been... Who's that?
Yes, yes, that's Sonny. He's a sun conure. My other bird is also a conure, which is a South American parrot, and they're both medium-sized parrots, not as big as a macaw, but good size, and they make lots of noise. So they're my bird security system. If anybody comes to the house, they know and let me know right away.
So how are you looking with your foods, your food self-sufficiency?
That probably we're the farthest off on.
Yeah.
Like we are, I've got avocado trees planted. I have mango planted. I have pineapple planted. I have ginger. I have tomatoes planted, okra planted, celery, probably a few other things coming up that I'll find out more about later. Some beans, like green beans. That is the area that I have probably the, you know, it's going to be the longest learning curve because I don't have a background as a gardener, but that's okay. Cause I'm willing to make mistakes, you know, and just try different things until I see what works for me.
Yeah. That's the most important thing. If you want my opinion, that's the most important thing is just being quite in that space where you're just making mistakes and learning by them. If you're comfortable in that space, then, you know, there's nothing you can't achieve, is there?
Exactly. And we are using a local food source for a lot of our vegetables, which I'm really happy about. There's like a farm stand that is about 10 minutes away, and they offer a whole flat of vegetables and fruits for $10.
Nice.
Yeah, so we get that once a week. We use that for a good 50% of our food, I would say. And once we get some of the animals in the, and on the property, we should be able to reduce our egg, dairy, and meat, you know, purchasing to almost nothing, I would think.
Yeah. You manage it, if you manage it correctly, and you've got one advantage over me with your climate as well, because one of the things I struggle with, and I don't think I'm ever going to get to the point where I'm not buying them in, is spices. But of course, you shouldn't have too much trouble growing things like cumin and coriander and turmeric where you are.
No, I mean, the ginger has been doing great. I've had it going a couple of years now, so comes up every year like clockwork. And
yeah,
it's really good. Yeah. So I'm sure if I can grow ginger, I can grow turmeric and any of the other ones too.
For sure. For sure. Okay. Is there anything else you wanted to share before we sort of wrap up?
Well, my son is a chef, and he said he contacted you because he wanted to know, with respect to the dairy that you have with your goats, were there some techniques that you recommend to use for goat products, ice cream, butter, cheese, yogurt, to make sure you don't have that really goaty taste, you know, that you sometimes get with store-bought stuff?
Yeah, I do. And there's two things to it, really. So the first one is your breed is important. And different breeds will give you, you know, more or less of that taste that you're talking about. I said two things, there's three things. So that's the first thing. The second thing is that smell, not always, not entirely, but in most part, it comes from your adult entire males. So males that haven't been castrated, those are the guys that... And that stink, it just absorbs into everything. And so if you're able to keep your milking girls separate and not have an adult entire male in with them, that's going to help massively. And then the third thing is the other part of that flavor profile comes from the natural bacterias that are in the milk. So these only amplify over time. So what we do in our house, obviously we're milking every day. We're getting 5 liters of milk every single day. So wow. We're only drinking and using in our cereal and coffee milk that's, you know, 12 or 24 hours old at the very, very most. So that's how, you know, those are the ways that I would suggest it's managed. And then the older milk is perfectly fine for making things like cheese or what we tend to do. So I'll bring the milk in the afternoon and I'll process it by kind of allocating it all right there and then. And, you know, we'll make sure that we've got a few pints put to one side for, you know, use and drinking and what have you. And then everything mm-hmm. else will be either set aside so that we save up enough for a batch of cheese every few days, or it will go straight in the freezer. So it's frozen when it's just a few hours old. And that's probably the most important part of how to manage that you're talking about.
Good. Yeah. He's excited about me getting other animals here so that he can start eating.
Or cooking with them. Yeah, no, I'm exactly the same. So it's a bit sad, really, but if you can't eat it, I'm not very interested in it.
Yeah, for sure.
You know.
Yeah, one of the things that I really like about this property is it has lots of forbs on the property for the goats to eat.
Yeah,
yeah. Lots and lots of them.
Perfect.
So, for example, we have this bush called Beauty Berry, and it's not a toxic berry. In fact, the leaves can actually be used to get rid of mosquitoes or to repel mosquitoes. So I'm going to have to try that out because yeah. mosquitoes love me. But, you know, it's like I've got all these shrubs growing on the property already. And, you know, having goats that can come in and just nibble away, I definitely want to use rotational grazing, you know, to maximize what the goats do for the property, as well as minimize the kind of parasite load that they might get.
Yeah.
But there's really little grass here that could harbor the kinds of worms and stuff that I know are a problem.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, plus the other advantage there is goats aren't grazers. So they're not going to be, you know, you can't feed them with just grass. So the fact that it sounds like you've got the perfect environment for them.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're looking forward to having that. We're looking forward to doing some ducks and geese here. Given the high humidity that we have all the time, ducks. Well, and I've already got a pond for them. So.
Perfect.
Yeah. So perfect. I'm reading about ducks, and we'll probably get some of those either in the fall or early next year. We'll see. How
fantastic.
I can work that out.
But they're a great dual purpose animal. You've got the eggs and of course the meat. So
exactly. And they're good. I hear they're good for also eradicating all kinds of bugs and pests from the garden. So
absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. You just gotta be careful they don't eradicate some of your food as well.
That's right. Yeah, so to me, this is kind of a fun adventure retirement project. You know, it's like something that will keep me really busy for a long time. And hopefully, you know, I'll last long enough to enjoy all of it. My dad lived to be 92, so I'm shooting for 100 or more. And this is the way to go, I think.
Yeah, well, good for you. And, you know, I wish you all the best. Before we wrap up, Karen, do you want to just let my listeners know where they can find you?
Yeah, you can catch my adventures on netzerohomestead.com. That's where I've been, you know, keeping all the ups and downs of living on this property and trying to do something with it. And I will continue to do that. My most recent post was on my flooring, you know, and how I chose something that was nice looking and not too expensive, but it had its own problems even with that. So yep, I'll keep putting our adventures up, and anybody who wants can take a look and see what they think.
Perfect. Well, thanks very much for getting in touch, Karen, and I wish you and your husband all the best in the future.
Great. I hope I can speak with you again sometime and keep you abreast of what we're doing.
Yeah, well, let's stay in touch.
Okay, sounds good.
Cheers, Karen. Bye.
Bye.
If you find this podcast valuable, there's several ways you can support it. The easiest of which is to rate and review it wherever you get your podcasts. You could also talk about it or share it wherever you post online, including your social media pages. And now you can support the podcast directly by becoming a patron at patreon.com/selfsufficienthub. However you support the podcast, we really appreciate it. Thank you for listening. See you soon. Thank you.